and welcome to another episode of the Vault Dwellers podcast. I am your host, Mr. Mac. With me, as always, artist extraordinaire Gary Moore. Gary, how you feeling, buddy?
Episode 15, fantasy draft. How could you get any better than this? Looking forward to it, as always.
Good. Episode 50. I can't actually. What a milestone for us here. So I'm really, really enjoying it. Again, another back-to-back episode that we're recording, and we're hoping that you enjoyed the previous one, which was our predictions episode. Really, really enjoyed putting that one together, and it was a great addition having our special co-host in Hoodie, the best addition to the Vault Dwellers podcast, if I could put it that way, politely. Hoodie, how you doing?
Thank you so much for having me back. I would like to tell the audience, if you're wondering why I'm wearing the same shirt, I'm also wondering why you could see me.
I did like that. That was good. Right, okay then. Well, obviously, usually we would jump right in to the... To the what have we been playing, Gary Moore?
Yep.
But obviously, with this episode being recorded back to back, we're going to skip the patented named Gary's favorite segment. And
I mean, I played something in between.
when we were doing the podcast. I played the Xbox on my Samsung TV next to me. Watched the last episode to get that reference.
Oh. Good callback.
I can't believe that Sean predicted that Xbox was going to buy Sony.
You better believe it. Something that I did miss, unfortunately, in the previous episode, and I was about to miss again in this episode, is if you're new to the Vault Dwellers, and this somehow is your first episode that you're picking up with your predictions in the Fantasy Critic League. We are the Vault Dwellers. We've been doing a good few episodes now. We've been doing for 6 months. We've been recording, but we've been thinking of this for about 10 years. So we're a podcast 10 years in the making. We've drafted our good friend Hoodie into the mix. He's going to make us the big stars, the big money, the big bucks, all that good stuff. So the 3 years come together with a whole host of different topics, whether it's be video games, movies, or different life experiences, all that kind of good stuff. We did a good few episodes, themed episodes on New Year, I was about to say that, on Christmas and Halloween, which are very, very worthwhile checking out. A little bit lengthy, but definitely worthwhile. In terms of the Halloween episode, we did a good Halloween memories review at the end of Hocus Pocus. So if you're interested in either of those two things, then check that episode out as well. And in terms of real life topics, we also went into holidays, favorite holiday destinations, and all that good stuff as well. If you're thinking, who the fuck is Hoodie, there's a Hoodie episode as well, which is Hoodie's first episode, and on the back of that episode there's also a review of Thor Love and Thunder, which we buried the lead on for any of the Marvel fans. So definitely there's something for everybody here at the Vault Dwellers. So I won't keep us any longer, because I'm not entirely sure how long this episode is going to last for. If you're unsure of what the Fantasy Critic League is, it is effectively a website that you can join with a group of friends. We've been doing it for a few years. Shout out to Rahul again. We shouted him out the last episode. He's our lawyer, so we have to shout him out every episode. Shout out to Rahul, who brought this to the collective a few years ago, and we done a Fantasy Critic League. Is how I actually probably was mainly introduced to a good group of people over on Twitter and Twitch. So we managed to develop a good group chat, which we was kind of surrounding the league and the predictions, which people have maybe seen on shows like Kinda Funny and all that kind of good stuff as well. So again, essentially what it is we are publishers. We're going to have our own publishers, you see, hopefully on the screen, if I've managed to record it properly on OBS, you see below there's a few, or shortly below if I've edited it properly, but it might be there now, or to the side. I can't remember. Gary said it would look better on the side, and I agree, so it might be over there or over there. Anyway, so you'll see there that we have our own publisher names, which we'll run through in a wee second. But essentially what we'll do is we'll be drafting, I believe it's 6 games, and we'll explain along the way. This is Gary's first year, I believe Hoodie's second year, of doing the Fantasy Critic, and none of us are any good. It's all just for a laugh. It's all just for a laugh anyway. But we're going to draft 6 games each, and then we'll do a counter pick as well. What the gist of this is, we're trying to obviously finish with the highest number of points. We each start with $100, which isn't used as part of the draft process. The $100 is what we're bidding for the remainder of the slots. You'll see below in the table, I think there's something maybe like 10 slots for games. So we'll only pick the first 6 slots, and the remainder will be filled in throughout the year. So it'll be a good check-in for us at the end of the year, a good end of the year episode to fill in where we placed, or maybe we do it next year and have it as a prerequisite to the next year's predictions. So we're going to start. We're going to the draft. If there's anything that we're unsure about or anything that Gary's unsure about, we'll probably take a wee pause and explain that at the time. So bear with us if you're familiar with us already. Put us in the background. We're going to be chilling, and we're going to run through this, and it's going to be fun as fuck. Listen, I will be. Watch everybody fall out with each other because we're picking each other's games. But I'm hoping that, obviously we do it where myself and Hoodie, obviously I've been involved in a few years. So as I say, Hoodie was involved last year of a big group of people. So this is my first year where it's a wee bit more condensed, and there's obviously a further opportunity to grab some big named titles. So, you know, you've got that balance of which games are you going to go for the now, which games do you think is maybe not going to be quite as good, and it's going to be really interesting, I think, to see live different people's kind of reactions to things being picked, and how we're going to, you know, navigate the counter pick and all that kind of good stuff. So, and what I'm thinking is going to be behind that. Anyway, I've spoken enough, so I'm going to pass it to Gary, and he's going to tell us first what his publisher's name is before he picks his first game.
So, break my virginity, so you just need to ease me in gently with this. So, my publisher name, I decided to pick Gary's the people champ of the Vault Dwellers, Big G.
Of course.
Because, of course. I seen Sean's, and then I was like, do you know what, I need to counter that, and then I didn't really actually realise that people are going to see it. So, hi, yes. that's my name.
Yes, very good. Right, okay, we'll just run through with the names then. I've went for Mac Daddy Champion. Anybody that doesn't know Gary is we are kind of chalk and cheese when it comes to humility for gaming and competition. I am very, you know, team orientated, as much as Gary was like to say that. I'm not
Team Sean.
I am very much team orientated, and I like to raise everybody up, everybody, you know, the tides lifting, all boats rise, all that stuff. Gary likes to just piss out everybody, and he wants to be the best, and he likes to remind everybody that he's the best.
Even Human shield.
He'll still say he's the best. Gary, I like to get my wee digs in here and there. So Mac Daddy Champion is the name of my publisher. So Hoodie, what nice you know, creative name did you come up with for your publisher?
Yeah, so I took a second to think about this, and I thought, oh, these two are going to be individualists. I'm going to speak for our entire fucking company. All right, so if I lose, the Vault Dwellers lose as a whole. If I win, the Vault Dwellers won as a whole. If you guys won, Mac or Gary lost. If I win or lose, we all lost.
Do you know what? That was a better spin than I thought it was going to be, because I was just setting them up to be like, look, you didn't even pick it, but he's won it. He's won it. He's won already. Hats off to our hoodie.
Well, you know what? Our other league, I'm ooh-wee. I bet you can't guess how much thought went into that one.
For sure, for sure. So, just in case anybody doesn't know, obviously we're going to go around and take it in turns to pick from our games that we, you know, like the look of and stuff. You know, we'll take our time, we'll go through it. And if again, if Gary's unsure, we'll stop at any points. But effectively, you know, let's fucking get in here.
Let's fucking crack on.
Let's go.
So,
Gary Moore.
First pick. I don't know how I got first pick, by the way, but anyway, I'm getting first pick, so bear with me. My first pick, think to myself, what's going to be possibly the game of the year next year? What's going to have the critics raving? What's going to have everybody up in arms? I think there's going to be a wee fantasy game in there. I think it's going to be the Final Fantasy. The Final Fantasy 16.
Final Fantasy 16. What a good shout. What an absolute good shout. So, the gist, obviously, that I missed out earlier, obviously, to try and score points, you have to get a score on OpenCritic of above 70. So, first of all, your game has to receive enough reviews. And then, depending on how that game is being reviewed, you will gain plus one for every score that's above. So if you had 80, you would get 10 points for your fantasy critic. And obviously, if it scores under 70, you're going to get negative points. We'll get into later on how the counter pick works. However, for this first kind of part, it's all about over 70.
But with that being said, I feel really bad for Gary in that underdog pick.
The underdog pick.
Wow. I don't know if it's going to make over 70. I don't even know if it's good enough for reviews, Gary. Sorry.
Pikmin Falls coming. I can feel
you
it.
You should have told me that ahead of time.
Pikmin Falls coming.
You feel it? So I am up then for my pick. So I'm just going to refresh this page here. Should be able to do my wee pick. So draft a game. I'm quite excited about this now. I was going to pick a different game, but do you know what it is? I just feel too bad. I'm going to concede it and leave it alone. And instead, I'm going to go for a game that's releasing. I'm going to pick a game that's releasing this year. This month, I should say, excuse me, because everything has to release this year. That's the caveat. It has to release this year because it resets every year. So it has to release this year. If it doesn't release, you get fucking no points if a game doesn't release. So we are going to go. We're going to go for a wee bit of Fire Emblem. Going to go Fire Emblem. Oof. Engage.
Oh wow.
Right. Oof. That's my first game. I'm playing it safe. Right. I'm playing it safe.
Getting the Nintendo geeks.
Nintendo works.
Brilliant. Love it. Who did you just remember? You probably need to refresh your page after Mr. Mac does it, because I had to.
I did. So if you hit a wee refresh, then at the top of it, it should tell you that it's your turn to go.
It does. Okay. Well, as Mac mentioned, I was in another group last year. And I'll be the first to say, I had a pretty good year. Out of the five people that are in that group, I came in 12th. So, you know, that's
don't buy it.
That's why this year I'm getting the crown. Let's see, so my first pick, it was a tough one, right? What am I going to pick? What in the world, what game have I screamed at every single person in both groups not to take from me? It's the only thing in this world that I want. I won't take anybody else's game, the rest of my games, you know, whatever. This one game I want more than anything else. And that is the Plucky Squire. That's right. I am going to No, it's Spider-Man 2. I'm picking Spider-Man 2, you guys. Surprise, surprise. You know, part of me in the predictions episode almost predicted this game isn't even going to come out this year. I think it's going to get delayed until February next year. Yeah, I want it. I have to stick to my guns on this. I don't think it's coming out this year, but I do want it. So,
Spider-Man 2. I like that. That's a...
I'm into that as well. Definitely, I'm into that. Yeah. Well, obviously, as I mentioned at the top there, it is in a kind of sneak pick. So as much as Gary got to go first, it reverses. So Hoodie, you now have
your... I didn't know about this.
I also didn't know about this.
I said that.
That's cheating.
I said 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. So Gary gets to
pick next. I didn't know about this.
Ooh, man, Gary and I were listening. Well, I mean, for my second pick, I think I've already mentioned it as a joke, but it is also my second pick, which is the Plucky Squire. This game looks fantastic and could easily be my Tinykin for 2023. Well, I'm very excited for this.
That's what I quite like about these things, you know. It's obviously, you know, not intending to kind of rip on the other... you know, league that we're in, there is a lot of people in it, so you don't get as bigger games. And obviously, I've come out the bat with Fire Emblem, which arguably is still a big game, but I don't think games, I would get that in another league, because you typically only really get one big game, and the rest of them are smaller games, which I really do enjoy as well from a different dynamic, because it introduces... it introduces me to so many different properties, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the guys are bringing to the table. next year, this year I should say as well. So for me, I am going to pick my second game, and I'm going to stick. I'm going to stick with it because I believe it's going to be a banger. I'm going to go for Zelda. It's my second. I'm going to stick to
one. That's a good one.
I like it.
I'm going to just snaffle Zelda.
That is a good one.
I really appreciate the dedication to Nintendo.
I've done well. I don't usually get the Nintendo games, because it's usually your Rahul's, your Kamau's. Those people are a lot more in tune to the Nintendo universe than I am, so usually I have to dig deep, and I will have to do that this Sunday, but for now, staff on them.
So, Master.
Well, also, I like... if I could just comment on Max. I do like the strategy of risk-reward, because Nintendo is risky on whether or not they will release a game, but you are almost guaranteed 8s to 9s. That's one of those categories that's like, oh, sure, you could say, yeah, it's guaranteed. It's not guaranteed to come out. That's the thing that I'm finding really cool about your list of okay, you're betting big, but that's what makes this fun. That's why I like the metagame of this, is betting on whether or not something will come out. Similar to like what I was saying about Spider-Man. I don't think it's coming out, but I'm still betting on it.
For sure. Absolutely.
So, Gary just sticks with a bit of Japanese, you know? You know how I like my Japanese, Sean? So, I went with Square for the first one.
Where is this going?
So, I know, mate, I know.
I'm going to jump over to a wee company called Capcom. And they're releasing a wee game called Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Oh.
Kabushk.
Good shout. I feel like that. It was definitely high on my watch list as well, because I think it's just one of the games that I think it's going to be an absolute banger. So
I wasn't sure how it was for remakes. I wasn't 100% sure how it fitted in, but this is a ground up remake, so I'm pretty sure that this should go on a list, because it's not just like a remaster. You know what I mean? It's like a full ground up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, 100%.
Resident Evil 4.
Yeah. No, it'll get its own. It'll get its own kind of reviews and stuff. And I should say there's certain tags that you can disable, and I just mirrored the exact same as Royal does. So,
yeah.
You know, you take the ones that, you know, like say recurring franchises and stuff, because you can technically allow them in the draft. Mm-hmm. So you could look up a FIFA, Call of Duty, or that kind of stuff, and add them in as well. But I've kind of taken them out because. They're looked on differently than other games, yeah. These franchises that renew every year. So, yeah, that's definitely a good shout, and one that I'm happy to see on the board. I think it's one of the games when I heard about it a wee while ago. I seen a trailer on it. I'm sure there was a trailer last year, wasn't there?
Yeah,
on it?
Yeah, and, it
looked really fucking good. So I thought to myself, you know what? I am going to stream that this year. So that's going to be one of my streaming games, because I've never played any of the Resident Evil games. So 7 and 8 is my only touchstone, so I've heard 4's pretty good.
4 is absolute fantastic. Like I played it on the, I think it was on the PlayStations, I don't know what PlayStation it was, can't remember. Played it on one of the PlayStations, and then I played it on the Wii, and the Wii version was amazing. So like, using the stick and stuff like that, fantastic. It was such a great version. So I'm really looking forward to Resident Evil 4 as well. Big fan. So, So I'm stepping off the gears here. Well, maybe I'm stepping on the gear, actually. I know I usually give Xbox a wee bit of hate, but there's one game that Xbox usually smash out the park, and that's going to be a wee game called Forza. So I'm going for Forza Motorsport. Kabushka.
Yeah, good shout.
Your new catchphrase. Kabushka. I'm really here for it.
That Forza,
I did actually quite like that.
This is Gary.
Forza is a game that I kind of did a wee bit educated looking up, and I was looking up the kind of last Forzas, and they all seem to be getting like 8s, 9s, and 10s. Well, I don't think it was a 10, but it was like 8s and high 9s, and I was like, wow, that's going on my list. That's got to be a game changer.
It could very well be, to be honest. So good shout, mate. I'm all about that. So it's getting to the nitty gritty here, and strategy starting to come into it a wee bit as well for me. You will see on the screen obviously how the tables are starting to fill out. But for me, you know, it's there's definitely a bit of a meta going on in terms of would they leave out, what are these guys going to pick, and Gary is definitely like getting more spread out in terms of like what he's picking as to, compared to what I would anticipated them to pick, and Hoodie's a fucking wild card at the best of days. So, I think I'm just going to have to pull the trigger on this and just see where we end up. So I'm going to click this one. See, hopefully it should go. Oh, if I did it right, it would have worked. Right, so draft game, and here we go.
Oh, what's it gonna be? What do you think, Gary? What do you
think he's gonna pick? Fortnite chapter 10 season 4.
Wrong. I think that because of what game this was compared to, I think this game will score a bit higher because there's a lot of people who are, you know, they were comparing it. Mm-hmm. Gary knows they were comparing it quite a lot, and I just think to myself, that
if
you're going to do it, fucking do it right, okay? So Dead Space Remake is my third pick.
Oh snap! Okay,
that's a good all one. Right. That's a good one. Yeah. That was between that and my Forza. I think you're completely right. I think the people who played Callisto Protocol are going to be like, that game was shit, and then they're going to get Dead Space and be like, this is where it is. This is 10 out of 10, 20 out of 10. Call back to the last episode. I totally agree with that pick. That was a smashing pick there. Right, you had to fucking pick some fucking Pokemon game or something like that next.
I think the last time I played a Pokemon game, I was 13. But I am ready to put my bet on Pokemon something color.
Brownstein.
One of those. So I looked at my watch list long and hard, and I reorganized them last night as I was adding more on, and I just thought, what do I think is a safe bet? But then I thought again, I don't do safe bets. safe bets are for losers. And that's why my next game is SpongeBob SquarePants Cosmic Shake.
Of course it is.
Oh, I love this.
I don't know if anybody here has played Battle for Bikini Bottom, but on PlayStation Plus a few months ago, they released the remake of a remaster or whatever you call it. And I played through that and I thought, wow, this game feels old, but I'm having a lot of fun. And I could imagine if they just made that game not feel old and still have the same level of fun, it would be a banger. That's why SpongeBob SquarePants, the Cosmic Shake, is going to be an 87%.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? That's the hoodie hats off to you, mate.
Yeah, well done.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have to say, I've got 24 games on my list, and that was the one of them.
No, that was the one of them. I didn't even know there was a SpongeBob game coming out.
He travels through time, you guys. What more do you want? I feel like you're not opening your eyes enough to what we could have in the possibility of this SpongeBob MCU, right, whatever right, it's either. Called.
Bring back SpongeBob Caveman.
Thank you. Anyways, my second game, I feel like a little bit in the realm of what Mac was saying with Dead Space of like, well, it's being compared a lot. Can it do it better? And mine's in being compared to a game that I love, that Mac loves, that Gary hates, and that Ben is obsessed with, the Avengers. I am picking the Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. I think this game is in the realm of wary because everybody's like, not another Avengers. But you're forgetting who's making this game. Rocksteady. And when has Rocksteady made a bad game? Right? Name one time. They've had some bad launches, but not bad games, right? This game's going to be great. I believe in it. I believe in this one. And I think it's the swan song for WB. Go watch the predictions episode to find out what that means.
Plug that in there.
Good shout. I quite like that, the idea of that. I mean, I think, obviously, with the, you know, the way the last, the way the kind of last DC kind of game came out, it was just, I don't know, just so lackluster, and the two of them were definitely like, you know, going head to head a wee bit for a wee while, and I'm quite glad that the Suicide Squad game got kind of pushed away out the side and can distance itself, you know, enough for us to have a successful game, and I believe that it could be a really good game. And I don't know, is it multiplayer in the sense that there's more than two people this time that can kind of jump in and play?
So the idea is that it's a four-player co-op game in the open world. Aye. And you do missions throughout the entire game. You can play it single player with AI as the other three characters, whichever one you pick. Yeah. I do think what differentiates this from Avengers, this is not a live service game. This is very much a single player game that you could play with friends.
That's good.
So if I believed in anything, it would be this game because of Rocksteady. I think the marketing for it, for me, has hit a lot of the time. I do worry for some of the bits that I've seen of like, oh, why aren't we seeing this? I hope it comes out this year. I really think they have to put this out this year. But I would still not be shocked if it gets delayed. But yeah, it's been a while for Rocksteady. I know they've had some rumored like trouble making any game, let alone this one, after the Arkham series, which was just so touching back to the predictions episode of trilogies that end in games, like, whoa, they nailed that. So it's going to be big shoes to like follow in. So I'm excited for this.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm interested myself, actually, to be honest with you. I'm sure I could be easily persuaded to join the band of many brothers there when you're playing. So we'll see how that plays out.
Heck yeah.
Although I am going to go for a wee game. Everybody's all excited. I've sorted it. I've got it all set up. There'll be no
SpongeBob.
There'll be no hesitating this time. I've got it on my screen. I'm very excited. I'm trying to look for any props that I can use, and I don't have any. I just don't. I would love to, but I don't have any. But if there's anything to go by, the blue on this is a wee small hint to where I'm heading. And I do have confidence. I think some people will be trying to be like, oh, it's just the first game again. I fucking love the first game. So my second pick, I was gonna say, my fourth pick here, I'm going to back a wee game called Star Wars. And I'm going to go for Jedi Survivor. So I believe this game's going to be a good game. Got my faith's in it. Feel the force.
Yeah, I like that. I like it.
It's a really good pick. I feel like it's also a great chance for this game to evolve on what I think some of the shortcomings of the first one was. They were learning that new engine and like trying to understand how that works after Respawn being so dedicated to like first person shooters. And I think now that they have all of that knowledge, what they can build upon with this is going to be unbelievable. I wholly believe in this game. It was on my watch list, I imagine, with a lot of others of like, whoa, okay, I'm excited. Especially with that trailer they dropped at the game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm in it.
Yeah. So I just decided literally this moment. No, do you know what? I'm not going to. I'll use that for my last one. I'm going to go for a safer bet here.
Which was it? What was it?
I'm not telling you because I'm going to pick it next. I've got two shots on it. So,
yeah, have I?
This one, I think it's the easier one. We all know Final Fantasy VII, the new one. Critics loved it. So we're going to just need a day. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Oh, good show.
Two Final Fantasy show. Games in 1 year. The weebs will be gone daft. So
it's throwing insults left and right.
Always. So my second one, you know, I feel like this little game is having a wee bit of a resurgence. And maybe deserved that. They definitely deserve the criticism, but they're deserving the resurgence that they're having. And they just put out a wee trailer recently for a wee bit of DLC with a well-known actor called Idris Elba.
Oh, this is a fucking risky
pick. This is a very risky. This is a risk. This is a big risk, and I'm taking it. I'm going for Cyberpunk's DLC Phantom Liberty.
Right, that's a good shout. Oh, I'm really interested in this DLC purely because I've just been threatening to play a couple of games again. One of them being The Witcher, just to get that out of the road because of the upgrade, should we say, the PS5 upgrade. So that aside, I'm really keen to play Cyberpunk on the PlayStation 5 as well, purely because I played it on the PS4 Pro. I loved it, platinumed it, really enjoyed it. I need something to put me back into the game, and yep. I think somebody, I love Idris Elba, he's really, really good, great actor, and I think that's going to be the biggest big draw for me. And I don't know how they're going to do the DLC, because I'm a wee bit put off with the idea, obviously, if it was similar to The Witcher where you need to play the full game then you get the DLC at the end. I don't I don't know if I'll be happy with that. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's mm-hmm. just like you need to get to, you need to play a certain amount and then you can unlock that and you can go and that'll be like a separate mm-hmm. bit mm-hmm. or if it's a standalone within the game. I don't know.
I'd like to think it was a standalone. I think that would better interest me because I feel like I've played it and completed it in my V, I feel like my V story is done. You know,
yes.
Whereas I think after this, if it just put you in and it was just like, you know what, even if it made you a character, like you're this person, or maybe you'd even Idris Elba. I mean, you could be. You know, you could play as him. I think also with the resurgence of the cyberpunk edge runners, I think people are just starting to go a bit daft now for cyberpunk again. And I think they deserve it because that is a good world mm-hmm. and it is quite a good game. It just obviously came out absolute fucking pants.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm in a similar vein of like, how does this DLC work? I've played all the endings, and majority of them, like Gary said, come to a close where you're like, oh, I'm content with this arc of V. For some of them, my ending that I chose, the one that I stuck with, when I wasn't going for the platinum. That ending would have no possible outcome for me to be in this DLC, mm-hmm. which makes me think, interesting, this has to be a pocket universe mm-hmm. or a prequel of some kind, because there's no fathomable way they could connect everybody's ending into this.
Yeah, right? I agree. I'm assuming. 100%.
I like your shout of playing as Idris Elba.
Yeah. I don't see why you wouldn't. You know, I'm not spoiling it. I don't see why you would.
Nah, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to. I'm the same as Gary. I've been having a wee look here, and I've just decided that some of the ones that I fancied, some of the ones I quite fancied, I'm going to keep in the reserves. I mean, I'm going to draw them late. And I'm going to keep them in reserve. And
how many do we get? Is it six? Sorry,
I believe it's six in this draft, okay. And then after that you get to bid. And I should say, in all fairness, because I'm no sneaky, in all fairness, it's every Saturday night that the I don't think it's Saturday, possibly American hoodie time, Western is when it reaches midnight. Everything, all the exchanges take place on the store, so Saturday night. So you need to make sure that you have all your bids in. So when we finish this and we pick our counter picks, you can have empty slots. You either fill them, or you fill some of them, or you don't touch them because you want to keep them free. Mm. Now, there is, and it's like I said, everybody, it's Gary's first time, and I want it to be completely fair, you know, in terms of how we are all kind of competing and stuff. But if you pick even these games you've picked here, if you want to drop a game, you can drop a game and bid on a new game and it will swap them over. You can completely drop a game without bidding on another game and then you just have an empty slot to throw later. But you have a limited amount of drops for games that are scheduled to come out, and you have a limited amount of drops for games that won't come out. So if somebody turns around and says, this game is being delayed into next year, I think, I'm sure anyway, you have the opportunity to drop that game.
Okay.
There is obviously a situation which has happened to myself where even if you have a game that can be dropped, you've fucking spent all your money. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. You can mm-hmm. drop it, but it doesn't matter because you can't fill it with any other slot.
Yeah, yeah.
So just keep in mind for that before you do anything. But I would say that tomorrow, you get on the market, you put some bids in for any games that you're looking for, so that you can either fill some of these slots and make sure you don't miss out on some games that you may be looking for.
Okay. So, yep.
Long-winded, but I just want to get that in there.
No, that was good.
You know, I don't want to kind of leave Gary in the dark because this is first year. So, my pick, talking about dark. Okay, talking about dark.
Oh.
One that has always been something that I've admired from afar. I've never managed to actually play these games, but I'm interested, intrigued almost. I am going to go for my fifth pick. Diablo 4 is my,
oh, snap.
Is my pick. I am going to go Ooh. For that.
Nice.
I won't go to. I won't jump into it. I won't because I don't really know. I don't profess to know too much, and I love the look of those kind of games. I love the camaraderie that you see with those kind of games where it's the kind of everybody kind of coming in and fighting collectively against different things and all that kind of good stuff in terms of the older Diablo games and that. But traditionally, with them being on PC, they were always kind of, you know, not something. I'm not real much a PC gamer. I'd love to be, but it's just too much money and all that kind of thing. So I tend to just gravitate towards consoles. So I think with this one, if it's a console based game, I'd be very interested in trying it out.
Good show. Good
show. Thanks. Over to you, man.
So my next one is a Switch exclusive. This one only for Nintendo. And part of me, heartbroken. I don't have a Switch, right? But the other part of me, super happy it's being made because I don't think we have enough of these games in the world. And that's a Disney game.
Oh.
I'm picking Disney Illusion Island. This game was announced at the what was Disney's like E3 thing, and they showed it off, and I thought it looked really cool in its art style, and it's a 2D platformer similar in vein to like an Ori or Castle of Illusion, I think was the name of the Mickey game years ago. Yeah. I'm excited for it. I feel like I might be wrong about this, but there are four characters and I think there's co-op in it. So it's like a even fun for the whole family experience. That seems good to me. I feel like Nintendo has had a great track record of not letting third parties make bad games for them, for their consoles exclusively. And I do think this one's gonna hit with people, hopefully. I'm excited for it. Looks really good. Looks really fun. My second one
and final
is more.
I think.
Is this my final?
I think. We think so.
Wait, seriously?
I think there's only six each that we picked during the draft.
What are all these empty slots?
So that's what I was saying. That's when, remember, you can
bid
them, yeah.
Okay. Okay. My last one then is very much a safe bet. I feel like when I was thinking about games, I was like, I'm betting on this because I believe in this game. This game, more of, I just know it's going to get, you know, pretty good scores at this point. They've had a great track record with all of their others. Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Mm.
I think coming off the high of Valhalla, which I know you played, Gary, and I think enjoyed for the most part. I played a bit of it. I did fall off. It was getting too long for me. But I think them going back to like basics with a lot of their ideas for Assassin's Creed will be a good refresher for this game franchise and for fans to be like, oh, we're doing more stealth this time. Okay, we'll get our next game for the RPG that they're doing. But I feel like this was a safe bet. Oh, sounds pretty cool. I like going back to the kind of Altair era of things. We haven't been there in a while. I loved Origins. That's my favorite Assassin's Creed, the one set in Egypt. So yeah, I thought that that's my last
one. That's a good one. I was on my list of my 24 games, but I was like, it's dodgy, man. You never know. Ubisoft and Assassin's Creed, like, they seem to go like, all right, amazing, all right, amazing, all right, you know, and it's like,
yeah. I was like, in my head, I'm guaranteed a 70%. Right? Like, at the very least, so that's where I was very much in line of. The rest of my picks may or may not. This one is almost a guarantee. So unless they just completely fumble it, that's where I was at with this. Love to save it.
I was actually thinking the same when you mentioned Assassin's Creed, because I thought to myself last year, Valhalla scored quite well, so Valhalla's DLC will score okay. And it did do over 70, but it didn't do the banger that I thought it was going to be, but I believe we had a different property and a different setting that Assassin's Creed Mirage would be a really good pick. And I don't know, I just completely missed that. I think it's a really good shout. It's a risky one, but you know that yourself, obviously, that it's like a risky shout. But what did you say? You're nothing but a risk taker. You don't play the game safe.
Go, Sean. Go for it. Nah.
I'm not playing the fucking game safe. Right?
Let's go.
I'm not 100% on this. I'm really not. But I just feel like balls to the wall. I need to support them. So we're gonna go for a little game for my last pick called Starfield.
It's gonna get a 75 or less.
Ah, wow.
75 or less. 75 or less.
Look at your callbacks from the prediction episode.
Exactly. I believe that it has the ability. It has the resources. It has the gumsto. It has it. It's got it. I believe it's going to be at least an 80, but we just have to wait and see. I think the last gameplay trailer we've seen was quite in depth. I like the noise that came off of that was quite good. You know, I think they just have to make sure that they've not, you know, overpromised in any areas. So when it comes to, you know, because it's going to get compared to the way No Man's Sky did in terms of, you know, what they've said compared to what's there. And I just hope that what they've said is coming is what we're going to get. And I think it would be a good game.
Yeah, I hope.
Okay.
I know several of our friends are very high on this one. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Want to succeed for them.
Gary Moore is scribbling ferociously.
So I was between two in this one. I thought one was a dodgy pick. It was like, no sure. The fans are a bit fickle sometimes. That was a Street Fighter. I thought, oh, just don't know. I think the last Street Fighter, I'm sure it was the last Street Fighter came out and the fans bombed it. I was like, I'm staying away from you. So I've picked a wee game that I actually never played. I've never played the first one. But I did a wee bit of education on it. And I just found out that it got like a 9, the last one. So I feel like this one might just bring it to a 10. So that's going to be Octopath Traveler 2.
Oh. I was going to pick that earlier and I thought, nah, I need to go anywhere near that, but I'm forgetting obviously that all the top available games are shown at the top, so I thought that it would eventually have caught your attention, but it's a definitely good shout, because it was a well-rated game, the first one, but the reason I decided not to go anywhere near it is I'm thinking just some of the critics are so fickle, and that if this is exactly the same as the first game, they'll be like, it's the same as the first game, and they'll rate it lower.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a good shout.
I think that's also a great callback, because like we saw that with Horizon this last year of it's more Horizon.
Exactly. So that's saying it's gone back to you for the counter pick now.
It is, which is I was about to get to there. So it's time, obviously, to do the counter picks, and it is in reverse order. So Hoodie's going to go first, Gary will go last, and effectively what Hoodie is going to do is he's going to pick a game which is on either myself or Gary's lists, and he is basically going to say, I picked that game because I believe that game is either not going to come out, it's going to score less than 70, or as close to 70 as possible. That's the three different, you know, permutations that you're going to get. Any score that is under 70, Hoodie is going to gain M plus. So if something scores 65, Hoodie is going to gain 5 points. And if a game doesn't come out, Hoodie is going to score 0 points. Okay. Now, the other side of that is that if the game that Hoodie picks is going to be above 70, Hoodie is going to score negative to that sum. Okay. So if he picks a game and it gets 75, Hoodie will get -5 on his total fantasy points. So Hoodie is that, and Gary, are we all good on that one? Oh, last one. If Hoodie picks this a game that game is locked on the other person's list, and that person cannot drop that game.
Okay.
So it's also a tactical pick as well as a strategic pick in terms of the points that you're going to get or lose.
Okay, I'm not stealing this game.
No, you're not stealing the game. You're doing the opposite. You're locking it for us, and you're also saying that that game's not going to score quite as high. So I'm going to you're trying to mitigate gaining or losing. You're trying to mitigate losing points.
Okay. Oh man, I feel bad then.
Oh no, I wouldn't feel bad. I don't feel bad.
Oh, okay. You know what? Let's. It's a toss up. Part of me feels like Final Fantasy is a good pick for something that's not going to come out. And then sorry, buddy. And the other half of me is like, Starfield's a good bet that it's not going to review well.
I get that. I get that. It's hot.
Oh my god. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'll go Starfield. And then what do I have select? What happened?
That's locked in Mr. Maxis now. Mr. Maxis? Max.
That's just it.
Mr. Maxis.
Mr. Maxis.
Mr. Maxis is now locked on the Starfield.
Okay.
Mr. Maxis knows exactly what fucking game he's picking. Let me just tell you that much right now. I fucking know what game I'm picking. If I'm honest with you, I think everybody in here probably knows what I'm picking. And apologies, I feel bad for picking it, but it's just the safest one that comes to mind. So I'm going to go all the way to Bikini Bottom and pick.
How dare you! Wow! That's insane, dude! Do you not believe in the joy of SpongeBob SquarePants? It's a spiritual successor / sequel to the hit critically acclaimed game Battle for Bikini Bottom. Look at this! Let's see what the Battle for Bikini Bottom Metacritic is.
Look up.
You know what? We don't need to talk about that. That's fine. We don't need to mention that one. It's a score. That's what really matters. Nobody look that up. Nobody. It's okay. We don't need to look that up.
You better believe I'm looking up. We got an open critic here. scored bang on 70 last time, so I'll take bang on 70.
So, Mr. Matt, you just stole my pick, obviously, because it's the most obvious pick in this entire list. So, I just feel like with everything kind of left, I feel like Mr. Matt's list is just too safe. It's too safe.
Okay.
It's too safe. So, I'm gonna need to just go. I looked up that Plucky Squire there while we were talking, and that actually looks pretty decent. That does actually look pretty good. So it's gonna. I was between Diablo, because Diablo fans are fickle, man, aren't they?
Oh, I know. 100%.
And they love to hate Activision now. So that has got a potential to be an absolute bomb. But I think I'm gonna need to go Disney Illusion Island. Disney is just shitting out games in it, and they're like that pure AA, like near enough just A level than her.
Now, Gary, I don't want to help you, but I also want to help you. Go ahead and look up Disney Dreamlight Valley. Go look at those scores.
Look at the scores right? For Disney Light.
And you tell me that Disney's shitting out games. They've announced Disney Speedstorm like 5 years ago. And it's still not out. I don't know why I'm arguing.
So that was not on your list, because I seen it in Games of 2023, and I was like, "How is that not on Hoodie's list?" Actually,
it was supposed to come out last year. I tried to enter to the beta, and it screwed me. Okay, I can't trust this game's coming out. You're saying they're shitting out games. I'm saying they're not putting out games, right? Where are these Disney games?
So
where are they?
I would say that it is a risk, but for me, it's so it's who they've said. Disney Dreamlight Valley. 81.
Really?
Scored.
Wow.
81, right?
Wow. Yep. Is that the one it's like the...
It's very good.
Is basically... Sims. Ah, it's like Sims. Aye. Aye.
Yeah.
So for Disney Illusion Island, I would say something, right? There's a big bit of risk here. If this game comes out, it's potential to score just as high, but it doesn't actually have a confirmed release date when you click on it. So the minimum release date is like 23rd of January, maximum release date is December something. So they don't, so they say there's no fully confident of it releasing. So there is a chance of it not releasing, which would net you 0 points. And this, again, doesn't affect Hoodie in any way, and only that it locks one of these picks in place. So doesn't matter. if it doesn't come out, Hoodie scores 0 points on his pick. If it comes out and it scores an 81, Hoodie scores 11 points. Gary scores negative 11 points. So that's the risk for picking that one.
It's a really hard one. You know, I'm looking at the games and I'm like, what might not come out now? That's what I'm kind of going on. I feel like Disney Illusion Island might get the lowest review out of every single one of them. The Plucky Squire maybe.
I feel like
Plucky Squire's,
well,
it's like an unknown, isn't it?
I'll say for Plucky Squire, it is Devolver Digital, and they do have a good history of releasing games that are very well made. It also looks incredible.
I feel like
if you've watched the trailer down at all.
Here. Assassin's Creed.
I just don't want you to get screwed.
Everybody's helped me with this. Like, everybody's like, no, I'm not sure. Assassin's Creed's a 50-50. You don't know what you're going to get with Assassin's Creed. Dead Space, I feel like, is going to get a higher mark regardless because the Callisto Protocol was rubbish. Diablo 4, I'm unsure. I've seen a trailer of the game, so it looks like it's just about ready, so it's definitely be coming out. But will people like it? That's, I don't know. Disney Illusion Island is, I don't know. Might not come out. I don't know if it would even be good. Fire Emblem, it's got Nintendo written away at it, so that will just get good marks regardless if it's good or no. Spider-Man's got to be good because it's Sony, obviously.
Will it definitely come out?
That's the other thing. I think Spider-Man and Diablo are in that same category as Disney Illusion, where, is it even going to come out? Where, like, you just won't get any points. Sure, it won't affect anybody.
I think it'll come out. I think Sony
needs something. I hope so. They're saying fall.
Sony needs something this year. Like, it needs to be that game. We'll probably just be back to everybody. Now, like Santa Monica, everybody will be like, is that you finished God of War? Right, everybody come in and help us. Just gala everybody. And we'll just make this. Star Wars, I feel like that's got potential to be a brilliant game. So that's just out of that. Suicide Squad, you'll look Rocksteady. Legend of Zelda, again,
it
Nintendo fucking stamp on it. So that'll be a 9 or 10. Pluckies.
It is the thing where Mac picked the game that's like, this is the one that it could easily fail. Like, that's the clear shot of SpongeBob being like a disaster. But I do think there's draft is complete. What'd you pick? Disney Illusion? Okay, good job. Good job, dude. You did it.
So sorry for long to your thing, but just had to be.
It's a good call.
It was gonna happen.
I talked myself into that, so
well, that was us. Obviously, we went through the games there, and we kind of covered a lot of myself and Hoodie's picks while we were deliberating Gary's counter pick. Is there any picks in there, Hoodie, within Gary's there that you're kind of thinking, yeah or nay, or how you see any of them going? For me, I think Cyberpunk's the only flag, I would say. And obviously, as I mentioned earlier, that Octopath, kind of, in case anybody's, deliberating if that's going to be a kind of, it's the same as the first one, but the sprite detail in the first Octopath and the storylines and stuff in the first Octopath and how they kind of developed that, if they did do kind of pretty similar I think it would still be a pretty strong game. So for me, you know, other than Cyberpunk, I believe that the rest, I mean, I know that Forza in the general game space isn't, you know, one that's kind of widely spoken about, but I think just by what you were saying earlier about Xbox needing some big titles, I think Forza's going to be, you know, high on the cards for attention.
I think Xbox like to keep that they've got the best card game, because it always beats Gran Turismo now for ratings, and I think they love that, so I think it just always sits up there.
Yep, so you know, the last Forza was absolutely brilliant. I played a good bit of it on the Game Pass as well. So for me, I'm pretty, you know, I wouldn't have really picked, if I had to pick one of Gary's games, it would be Cyberpunk, but even still, I'm quietly confident that that'll be a good game. Will you get any thoughts on Gary's list?
Yeah, I think the one that I mentioned the most is probably Final Fantasy 16. Of this game has a very high chance of not coming out this year. Just won't come out. I think Rebirth is a stronger pull for it coming out, especially because they've already planned these out and they are in production, where 16, it's in production, but man, how many times was 15 delayed? Like, they scrapped the entirety of 14 to rebuild that thing. Like, can they make this one hit the mark this year? I don't know. The other one I had kind of hesitation with was Resident Evil 4. And that is because I feel most people have this idea of what Resident Evil 4 was when they played it, and they loved it. And, you know, Capcom has said that they are changing some details in that game, and I wonder how much of that will not rest well with people. I don't know if this game will be what people remember it to be, and although it really worked out in Final Fantasy VII's favor of the details they changed, I don't think anyone has complained that Resident Evil 4 needs any changes outside of, like, gameplay. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not they can make that.
I think the only good thing with Capcom is they've got a track record already of remaking these games and being good. So, well, Resident Evil 2. Yeah. Resident Evil 2 was amazing. Like, I loved that game. Like, and I think, I'm pretty sure that got like a 9 or something. Like, when it was.
Well, that's where I'd normally agree. But it's the fact that Resident Evil 4 is so highly regarded already. The other ones, you could do whatever you wanted with them and see what happens, right? I don't think they were in that same caliber. It's like, when I hear Resident Evil 4, I hear it in the same vein as Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
The way Ben talks about that game alone is, whoa, this is a masterpiece. I know Brian Altano from IGN, he talks about that game in the highest regard. So I think that's where I go, oh, is there risk for this one, touching this to remake it, worth it? So other than that, I thought the rest of I believe in Cyberpunk at this point. I know they, you know, they fucked everybody. Gary had some of the worst of it, and I was fortunate enough not to have any problems with Cyberpunk when I played it on PS4 Pro. And that was a rare instance, but I do know that exists heavily. I just think they've learned. I don't think they would do it again. Whatever they put out is probably going to matter to them. Not that Cyberpunk 2077 didn't. I think financials got in the way of that, we need to make the investors happy. But this time around, I think they're very understanding that we cannot fuck up again. We cannot.
I can't take the risk this time. Yeah. You know, they can't take the risks anymore.
No.
For sure.
They have to put out solid product.
All right. Well, I really enjoyed that. I think, I hope, Gary, you kind of enjoyed the process of it as well. And then obviously we'll look forward to seeing what, you know, how we fill the rest of the spaces there. Hopefully you can kind of see on the screen visually. If I can't get that to work, I'll at least post a wee, I'll create something, or one of these guys can create something in a wee table or something. We'll put it on the screen and everybody can see just what the picks that we've come up with. Just, you know, if nobody's kind of used this website previously, it works really, really well on your phone. and that it shows you a few things in terms of the upcoming releases. So it kind of shows you them, and you can kind of set it by order in terms of the release date. So it'll tell you, you know, when each of the games are estimated to come out. You know, obviously, and it'll give you a kind of brief kind of, you know, release date window if it's not confirmed. And then if you have a look at the standings, you'll get an up-to-date, you know, in terms of how many games have been released, how many is expected to be released, what budget any player has left. And you can also click this button and see that Mr. Mac is projected to be the winner. So that's about as much as you really need to know at this point. Mr. Mac Daddy Champion is going to take away with a clear, you know, at least 11 points. That's absolutely nothing to be followed by. Let me just tell you that now. But I just wanted to get that in there. This is what it is. So, Mr. Mac Daddy Champion finishing 11 ahead.
I hope EA absolutely shit out Dead Space.
absolutely. So yep, again, I really enjoyed this episode. If you've checked this episode and you've not managed to see any of the previous episodes, we did do a few callbacks, wee inside jokes there to the previous episode, which was our predictions episode. And you might be thinking, predicting what? Fucking anything. We just predicted anything that was going to happen this year with no education whatsoever. Imagine how fun that would be. Go back and listen, because it is some laugh. I'm excited for the games that might never ever come out.
I can't believe Hoodie predicted that Nintendo's going to make a PlayStation Vita.
Long live Vita Island.
Correct. All right. On that note, we'll see you next time. Until then, take care.
Listen, I'm no critic, but you're all 20 out of 10.
Goodbye.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of the Vault Dwellers podcast. You can keep up with Gary Moore at Gary Moore's Art over on Instagram. Keep up with myself, Twitter, on Twitch at MrMac92. And you can't keep up with Hoodie at The Penny Marvels over on Instagram. A very special shout out to Al the Predator Tribesman for creating the intro and outro music. Thanks again for listening. Take care. Bye.